Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Young F.A. Holmes. So scary, won't let them bury me. That's why I keep my 30. I shoot like Curry. And boy, I'm getting money. I'm getting money. These niggas hilarious.
All right, welcome back to Don V Fridays. We got a very, very special episode, man. We got Drift in the building. How you living, my boy?
Good, man. It's episode 140. Pretty sure I started here. Episode 90 was my first episode. So 50 episodes. Doesn't feel like 50 episodes. It flew by. I mean, this past year and a couple months. But yeah, for the listeners, go back to that episode 90, man. It was whole. I was a totally different guy on there, man. Made a lot of strides, but
a ton of strides.
Hey, you know,
it's ain't nothing to it but to do it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we say every time we have other podcasts on or ever give advice, you know, you just gotta keep doing it, man. Just stick to the schedule, keep pumping them out, and they'll get better. And that's what we've been doing.
Yes,
so
you got it. That's yes, and like you said, to the other pods, to the aspiring content creators, whether that be streamers, YouTubers, whatever, podcasters, musicians. You gotta just keep doing this shit. Like,
yep.
Everybody has this idea of in their mind of what they want their content to be. And then when they do it and it sucks at first, like people don't like to suck at nothing. Like,
right.
It's part of life. Like
it is.
You got your ass up and walk. You ain't just start running. You
stumble exactly.
All over the place, you fail. It's just the way it be.
Yeah, man. I mean, and even when that's something you told me even off air when we started. I remember just not knowing if I was doing the right things. That was the first thing you told me. You know, you got to crawl first, and we'll get better. And you know, we did a lot this past year. Went on to get guests on, and went through a full season of episodes. I mean, it was a great year. A lot of good episodes in that 50 episode span. So. We'll keep pumping.
A lot of classic episodes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
In that time frame, in that space.
Yep.
That shows some love to our sponsor, Baron Ridge Tree Stand. Well, shout out, man, Baron Ridge, been holding it down. Baron Ridge has developed the first ever climbing platform for saddle hunters and mobile hunters. Weighing in under 4 pounds and only 12 inches wide by 14 inches long. The ascent is perfect for long hikes to your site. Our climbing platform is ASTM certified and 100% made and manufactured in Virginia. The ascent can be folded to fit in your backpack or left setup to strap to your pack. Spend less time setting up and more time hunting with the Ascent O2. Get in the woods farther, faster, and quieter with the Baron Ridge Ascent O2. For more info, go to our website at baronridgetreestands.com or follow us on Instagram at baronridgetreestands for all the hunters out there. I mean, don't be hunting in Virginia. 97.57. been a lot of flooding going on, and a lot of it's been ducks everywhere. Like if you're in a 757, y'all know what I'm talking about. When I say it's ducks everywhere, that lets you know. It don't let you know it's duck season. It's flooding. If you live in the 757, get inland, man. Neptune trying to kill us, right? It's not jokes out here, but
on your ass.
Hey, Neptune been on our ass lately with no rain. Neptune been on our ass. I've been working at Virginia Beach lately too. Shit.
Not looking good, huh?
Neptune is not fucking around out there.
Yeah, it's that time of year though for you guys, right? Going towards the summer, weather starts acting.
It ain't even hurricane season yet.
What's that, more towards August?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe the global warming's got the months all fucked up. It's giving you hurricane season now.
It's crazy out here. But Virginia Tech has been on a bit of a roll recruiting wise. The month of May has been very great.
Yes.
To the Hokies, as far as, I mean, like maybe even 2 weeks ago or a week ago, I remember people saying, when is Pratt going to start landing commits? Like, what's going on? People was not freaking out, but just like starting to ask questions. What's going on? Where the commits at? And April and May, Pratt been reeling them off back to back to back to back to back. As of right now, Virginia Tech has the number 21 ranked recruiting class. That don't mean shit right now, but that's just what the number is.
Mm-hmm. No.
We used to say the same thing during Fuente classes when they would be ranked number 6 or some shit in June. Like, look, man, it's just what the numbers say.
Yep. Just wait till signing day. Wait till signing day.
That information as you may. But I guess we could start running down the commits and a little bit of a disclaimer for anybody new to Don V Fridays. We only talk about hard commits. We don't talk about silent verbals and all that other shit.
Yes.
We talk about people who commit, they got to edit and all that shit. So,
correct. Marcel Baylor, I think he was a silent commit for a while. But he did officially commit, and he's our highest ranked composite player, receiver from Radford. So, pretty close to Tech in terms of, location. But, like you said, last week, so like 6 days ago from when we recorded, we only had the two recruits. It was Lance Williams, the lineman from Tennessee. And then the other one was Jason Abbey, the edge rusher from Richmond. And he was a low ranked recruit. Not a lot of information on him. So, yeah, like you said, man, it was quiet out here. But we've been racking them up this past weekend. And at some skill position players too, a wide receiver, an athlete, and now a quarterback today. So, is this, I guess my question to you is this kind of the, what you expected from Pride to this point? Did you expect more? What are you feeling right now?
I think Pride he's living up to what Fuente left him. For better and for worse, he's everybody's within the footprint, like you said. Everybody's from Virginia, Maryland, Tennessee, Georgia, Pennsylvania,
right?
The Harrisburg area, like he said.
6 hour radius. Yep.
He stayed within the footprint, and he's getting foundational pieces. None of these recruits are going to, none of them are sexy right now. But those are the foundational pieces to help land the bigger fish down the road. And I don't even mean in this cycle. I mean next year in 2025.
And even the following. It's gonna take some time.
Foundational pieces. When I look at Dante Lovett's film, I see a kid that could probably help us at safety and at corner. Like, he looked versatile on film.
Yep.
And then you get a Damatha kid. One of my cousin went to Damatha. So that's a great school up in PG County, St. Hasville, Maryland. It's a great school up there in PG County, Maryland. And you get Dylan Whitkey today, and he got decent mobility and a decent arm. He might be a career backup here, but you got to have depth at that position. We learned that last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I see solid pieces. Marcel Baylor, he's ranked as a receiver, but I look at him just as an athlete. Like, just
yeah. I think they're hoping he comes in, but I think he can play anywhere. He's just athletic in general.
Right. Just get him out on the field, maybe running back, maybe receiver.
He's big.
Maybe defense. Yeah, maybe defense.
Yeah, 6'3", 200. I mean,
yeah,
I would play anywhere.
I wouldn't even, I would hold off on wide receiver and just see where he fits
right
when he comes in. But solid pieces, a pair of tackles and Haynes Hammer, which is a nasty name.
Yeah, man. He's got to live up. He's got to be great. With Joe Rudolph, come on.
A-O, that's some A.O. shit right there. Haynes Hammer.
Getting pancakes. Pancakes. Right. I mean, come on, man. He's got to be good. He's from Germany, too. Yeah.
And Gabriel Arena. So I think Pratt and his staff is doing exactly what I expected them to do. Obviously, he has to kind of clean up Fuente's mess. And I think Pratt even said himself, like, this one going to be hard. Like,
yeah.
Well, nothing going to be easy about this one. So I think Pratt is doing his job. I don't think he's doing a great job. I don't think he's doing a poor job. I think he's doing his job. What say you?
Yeah, no, I'm on the same boat there. I think those are all building block players. But it's really going to come down to coaching at the end of the day. I think that's like the biggest thing, can these players become NFL players? Can we win with these players? Can they develop these players? Like, I put out
now when you develop them, will they stay?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Different ball game out here.
I think so. And I think what we're going to see from Pry in the coming years is like an actual culture and an identity at Tech where players want to stay, they want to build, they're getting better, they're in a place where they can succeed. So I think, ratings aside, like, it's going to be what you see on the field, right? And if these players are playing well, if we're winning games. And so, I put out a thread today talking about how Cincinnati just basically pumped a ton of 3-star and 2-star players into the NFL. And I think that's what you have to do if you're creating a good program, is like, you got like these players that you're getting right now, like, you have to turn them into something that you can move back in terms of a resume. Like, hey, we just put Dante Lovett in the NFL as a cornerback. Like, check out where he's at. Marcel Baylor's in the NFL too. He's playing well. Like, you got to be able to do that. So,
right. And that used to be Virginia Tech.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Getting back to that.
Getting back to it.
Even the quarterback thing. I mean, I was looking, in terms of just even Desmond Ridder was like an 83, Dylan Whitaker's 84, 85 range. But like, if they can turn him into a good college quarterback and win games with him, like, that right there is the blueprint. That's your use case. And you show other 4-stars around the area will see that and be like, if he can do that at his level, I can do more, right? And then that opens the door later down the road. So I feel like this is a foundational, and this is a little different than what Fuente did, because when Fuente came in, his first real class, I believe, was the Trey Turner class, or actually it was the year before. So I think it was
Fuente actually, he started off hot.
He had a lot of buzz, but it didn't, I don't know, it never felt like he was building the right pieces. It felt like he was just getting the splashes, and they weren't really developing the guys, because Devin Hunter came early on too.
Yeah, Fuente, like, his recruiting was, while on the top ends, he had the star power on the top ends, he was still wonky with how he would recruit positions. So he would bring in like 4 or 5 receivers, 4 or 5 DBs, like, it was still like lopsided recruiting. So even though, like,
right,
he was recruiting well at those positions at the time, he was still neglecting certain positions. That it was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
And then once he lost his clout, it got even worse.
Right, then you got 9 running backs, and stacking room is way too big for competition reasons. But I think this makes sense. I mean, it's a slow roll. It just started picking up, right? We just started getting more recruits. It was a slow roll until now. It seems like the positional the way that the recruits are positional wise, it seems like it's evened out pretty well. And they all have like a specific role where they're coming in to play. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but I think, you know, biggest thing is how they put on the field, and if we win games and if they succeed, like, you know, I feel like once it comes down to the games, really going to find out and see. Cause I mean, the recruits don't really mean a whole lot when you bring in, you know, Devin Hunter and you don't get anything out of him. Right. But if you bring in 3 stars and turn them into NFL players and then parlay that into getting 4 stars and 5 stars down the road, that's how you build a successful program. Not just like having the clout in social media, bringing in, you know, recruits and then just having them play mediocre. So I think this is what you have to do right now. So I like the direction. It's nothing crazy so far, you know.
Yeah, but nothing crazy. It's nothing worth like falling out over. But I didn't expect Pry to come in here and work crazy miracles.
Right.
He was kind of left a mess in the recruiting departments. He was left a mess roster wise and recruiting wise.
Yeah. Well, see, this is what really irritates me about the roster in general. Is like last year, going into the regular season at the start, we were having discussions and arguments with other people about how many games we thought Tech was going to win. And people were adamant about like 9 and 10 wins, right? That we could do that with the roster. And now we haven't necessarily lost or gained a whole lot in terms of the roster, but now everybody's accepting that the roster is bad, but it really was in the same place that it was last year. So it's like, okay,
right.
Why are we just now thinking that the roster is bad? It was bad last year. It was bad the year before. You know what I mean?
Man, fan is short for fanatic. These people are crazy.
Right.
People want to believe. I mean, at the core of it, people want to believe. People want something to be true, so they hope it is. They try to speak things into existence. And while I feel like we got a worse roster than last year, we cannot possibly have a worse quarterback room than last year.
Yeah, because last year was just
Burmeister. We might win 6 or 7. We won 6 games last year. I think we went 6 and 7, right? Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
And I think we'll do the same thing this year, like 6 or 7, you know.
Yeah, the weird thing about this year is the schedule kind of plays in our favor. You know,
yeah.
It's actually really easy. Might be one of the easiest schedules that we've had. So I mean, there's a scenario where we win 8 games, but we're not an 8-win team. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like us in 2018.
Yeah. Yeah. 2019. I think it was 2019. Won 9 games or whatever.
Yes. We started Hendon and we had this momentum and we rolled it out into the Belk Bowl. We lost, but we was like an 8 or 9-win team.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's gonna be interesting because I mean, we play. You know, you can even go through the list, and it's like Old Dominion, okay, Wofford. There's 2, West Virginia, probably 3. They're not really taking any steps. UNC Pittsburgh up in the air, Miami up in the air, North Carolina State probably a win, maybe a loss. Georgia Tech probably win, Duke win, Liberty win, Virginia win. I mean, that's almost 8 right there. So. It's an easy schedule. It's not hard. We don't have any big games, really.
Yeah, but if Grant Wells was to get injured, it could be like last year when Blumbrick and them was playing games.
Would get hurt. At least the depth is a little bit better this year than it in terms of quarterbacks than it was last year.
I hope so.
You hope?
I mean, because I didn't see – I was at the spring game. I ain't see nothing from Jason Brown
mm-hmm.
that put that kind of confidence in me. And I don't know if they trust Devin Ferrell or Taj to play.
Right. Somebody, yeah. But the thing is,
backup.
Even if they don't trust them to play, I still feel like they're a better option than Bullock. I mean, not Bullock, Blumrick or Knox. You know, like if they get thrown into the fire, even if they're not trusted, I feel like they still probably take the edge.
Something, something.
Yeah. Hopefully. Make it shake,
it depends
right?
Depends on what they're getting in practice too, right? Because there was like the, you know, Fuente had like the emergency QP package for his third string QB, which was, you know, fade or run.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was all over the place. So yeah, it, interesting class they're putting together so far. If you're to look down this, this class we got so far in terms of these six guys, anybody that you like, anybody stands out, you know, you talk about the DeMatha kid. Oh, it's always good getting somebody from DeMatha.
I like Lovett's film. It's hard to find a kid that's willing to tackle, you know, he looked to be a willing tackler. Now I'm not saying that he's a great tackler. I'm just saying he's a willing tackler, which means I think we could use him at safety or at nickel or star. I don't know what they call this, the nickel, the star, the whip, whatever the fuck.
The guy that plays everything.
Yeah, so when you got a guy that's a willing tackler and he's shown the versatility to also be able to play outside and hold up in coverage, he had the best film out of everybody I saw, especially out of this month of May run we've had.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, last year we got Cam Johnson from St. Francis. I feel like for St. Francis and DeMatha are kind of the two schools from that area that you want to go to, you know, and pull kids from. So
and good counsel. Ladies,
right.
Ladies, good counsel.
Yep. The school that Mansur Delane came from too, Archbishop Spalding, I think it is.
Yeah.
That's another.
Maryland. I lived in Maryland for 8 years and they don't really talk about public school ball up there like they do down here in Virginia. Like down here, public school ball is still the shit. But up there it's like private school ball. I don't know. It's weird up there.
Yeah, yeah. Different ball game. Speaking of Mansur Delane, I'm probably not saying his name right, sorry, but his younger brother, I think it's Fahim Delane, just got offered by Tech recently. And he's got a nice offer sheet.
Bama too.
Yeah, he did get the Bama offer. Bama's a weird offer. They'll offer kids, but when they like them offering versus them actively pursuing a kid are two different things. So I don't know if it's just like hey, we're giving you a nod, or if it's like, hey, we're actively recruiting you and we have a spot for you type of thing, you know. So
they offered him.
Fuente
was playing some 4D chess
with the yeah, maybe
Fuente won a dumb fuck, man. Maybe Fuente had a plan. I guess we'll never know.
Come full circle. Coming full circle. Right on this podcast.
Yeah, shout out to Justin Fuente, man.
Yeah. It's kind of wild that none of those coaches really have anything going at all. You know, still dry. Nothing.
My man Brad Cornelson is taking money off eighth graders to coach them. So that's to let you know, right? Man, shout out to Brad Cornelson, man. Free BC, man. Brad was a good dude, man. Good dude, man. I'm gonna go to my grave saying, man, Brad Cornelson was doing his job.
Just following Fuente to the grave.
Doing his job.
Checking the boxes. Yeah. But Fahim, the younger brother, he's got only five offers, but man, his offer sheet's good. Alabama, Boston College, Penn State, Texas A&M, and Tech. That's a good five to have as a sophomore in high school, man.
Yeah, yeah, especially when you're trying to get paid.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Speaking of getting paid, what do you think of the of everything going around right now in terms of NIL? There's a lot of talk about
this shit
presidents
off the rails.
In what way? Because we've been, you know, everybody knows where we stand in terms of NIL.
We've been proponents of NIL, and I was kind of naive about NIL at first because I was like, yeah, they should make money. I'm thinking they're going to do autograph signings and sell their cleats. I did not think shit like Beats by Dre would get involved. I couldn't fathom it, that Barstool Sports would be cutting million-dollar checks and all that. And I'm not saying they don't, that kids don't deserve it, this and that. But what ended up happening is when you get a player like Jordan Addison, who is a Biletnikoff winner, and it's like, oh, he's about to transfer to USC for millions of dollars. Now, obviously, he couldn't go fucking do it because that was clear case of tampering. So he had to just say, oh, I'm just going to go into the portal. But he was clearly still on Pitt's roster with an NIL deal from USC, from the boosters at USC, not Lincoln Riley himself, obviously.
Right.
Once it got to that, as a Virginia Tech fan, it just made me be like, okay, so we're fucking cooked.
Yeah, man. It's getting kind of scary out here.
If we ever produce a player that gets halfway decent, what would stop Clemson or Penn State or somebody from getting them from us? Like, oh, come on over here. We got a hell of a lot more fucking money than they do.
Yeah.
We can offer you more stuff and get you into the league probably at a higher rate. So,
yeah.
On to the NIL, but the Jordan Addison situation was the first thing to make me be like, maybe the fucking boomers had it right.
Yeah, man. Maybe they just need a little more regulation on it. I don't know how you add more regulation to it, because it's kind of the Wild West to begin with, right? The whole idea of like just fucking paying players in college, it is the Wild West. But maybe there's a way to regulate it a little more than it is, because it's getting kind of crazy out here.
It's getting crazy here. Like I said, if Jordan Addison would have went to USC, that was a clear case of tampering. Like I don't like he had to not go to USC. He had to.
Yeah, but he's like also getting all the offers from everywhere else. So I mean, he's
in the portal now.
Yeah, yeah.
So he can listen to offers, but you can't be listening to offers as a Pitt player. That was nasty.
Yeah.
Like yeah. He was about, like Jordan Addison almost fucked up the church's money for reals.
So what's the long term? What's the long term effects of NIL? Do you think it just furthers the gap between the elite and the middle of the pack? You know, kind of like the rich versus middle class, or nothing? No.
I think college is a rich get richer sport. It's always been that. But at least with NIL, with some of the collectives in place, maybe some schools can emerge, like Arkansas, or Oklahoma State, because those got rich. Tennessee, like some schools that's not in the cool table can come back. So like Michigan got a lot of money backing them.
Michigan actually, I think, has the most money out of any public school in America.
Yeah, so I'm still for NIL, but it's going to be hard to prove the tampering because the schools aren't. I mean, USC didn't contact Jordan Addison. I'm pretty sure Beats by Dre reps or somebody did, but still, it's going to be hard to get that shit under control. But as long as they can get the tampering out, and I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good with all the crazy shit.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like before it was probably the school and the organization and the boosters, they would have to individually contact as a whole these players. But now you have all these external factors, all these other, you know, personalities and companies that can come in from any angle at any point, you know, and kind of just flip everything. I mean, talking about USC. Antonio Cotman, I think, got an NIL offer from USC recently on a visit. Don't know what's happening there, but you know, I mean, things can sway more than they've ever swayed, right? Like people can just on a dime flip. We've seen flips before, but like the flips now are going to be wild. But the way that I look at it, like if I'm a recruit and coming from a business like standpoint, like, okay, just commit to a school to get your name out there. And as you gain, you know, more recognition by being committed to a school, then it might help you get a better offer a better NIL deal from somewhere else that you can flip for a higher value, and basically just keep flipping these NIL deals higher and higher and higher. And if you're playing well, then it's all great, and you'll be in the league, and you maximize your money while you're in college, and maybe you bounce around from a school or two or maybe three, and then you're good money, right? So it's like free agency in college, but at the highest level. Like there's basically no barriers.
Yeah, shout out to free agency. Yeah, you got to definitely look at everybody on your team as a 1 year rental.
So how does Virginia Tech manage that?
They don't. It's over with. But we can still have some good times along the way. Like, as far as Virginia Tech in the grand scheme, like, it's kind of cooked. It's over with. Like, when the music stopped, we didn't have a seat at the table. But, I mean, only thing we can do is develop, pray they stay. Pray we can hold it together and put together like a pit year where we got a bunch of 23-year-olds.
Bunch of guys we got from other schools.
Yeah, like I got to keep it all the way real. Like, we're not equipped. We're just not equipped. Once it got to the point where, like, now they can, like, tamper, like, that changes everything. Like,
yeah.
For real. Like now dudes are just up and leaving because this team got a bag, that team got a bag. Like, it's nasty. Like, for us, that kills us. Because Virginia Tech for years prided itself as a developmental school. Like, even if, I mean, Fuente was the first to say it, but that's what Virginia Tech is. And now it's like, oh, now we're just going to be feeding, you know, like the farm league for Clemson or... It's about to be crazy. Well, Dabo don't believe in transfer portal, but, you know, farm league for other teams.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Like, we're almost a developmental. We used to be a developmental school for the NFL, but now we're a developmental school for other college football programs.
Hey,
yeah.
It's about to be nasty. Speaking of the NFL and developing players for the NFL, we had some guys get drafted a couple weeks ago. Nobody went in the top four rounds, but we did have four draftees.
No, I think top four. I think James Mitchell was a fourth rounder, was he?
It was a fifth round.
Oh, my bad.
The fifth round.
It's the Hopium.
Marlo went six. Tanuta went six. Lasita Smith went six. Congratulations to all the draftees, but Brock Hoffman got a free agent offer from Cleveland. I don't know if he actually signed it, but Trey Turner ended up with the Raiders. I think that's a good look for Trey Turner too.
Yeah, in the black.
Yeah. And then he can hang out with Devontae.
Yeah, in Vegas.
In Vegas. So shout out to Trey Turner. Hopefully he makes the team over there. Raheem Blackshear ended up in Buffalo. Jermaine Waller ended up in Detroit, which is almost perfect. Jermaine Waller wearing ski masks and shit, he should be in Detroit.
Yeah, facts.
Good look for him. Joel Williams went to Miami. Shanga Hodge went to Arizona. John Parker Romo went to the Saints. And Tay Diggs got a camp invite with the Cardinals. Salute to all the NFL Hokies and NFL hopefuls. Hopefully they all make the team. Realistically, all of them won't make their teams, but hey, it's still an experience, and you put the uniform on, can't nobody ever take that from you. So shout out to all the NFL Hokies.
Any of these NFL Hokies you think good fits, got a chance, you like where they're at?
Well, James Mitchell in Detroit, I think they got TJ Hockenson. That's their first signing, right?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, TJ Hockenson's there first. So there's no pressure on James Mitchell to hurry up and come back. They got a rock solid tight end, and he can learn from one of the best in the pros and get his health right. And when he does come back, he can be like a Delanie Walker type tight end, where a deadly second tight end.
Right.
And I think James Mitchell really got the best chance to, out of this crop of NFL Hokies, to carve for himself a nice, decent career up there in Detroit, especially playing alongside TJ Hockenson and whoever else they have.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think another one that could work out pretty well is Lasitas Smith with the Cardinals. The Cardinals have had a long time issue with interior linemen, and I think he might just get thrown into the fire early. So if he gets thrown in and plays well, he might have a spot for a while. So I think
getting thrown into that NFC West fire is a little different.
Hey man, that's a fire you don't want to be in. Those D lines.
You know what I mean? The NFC West.
It'll be making you look bad.
You know, NFC West D lines. We know if you could play early. But yeah, shout out to Lasitas Smith and Barno and Charlotte. That's going to be interesting. Maybe he gets on special teams. You know, he starts to make his niche special teams. And maybe 2-3 years from now, he gets himself a pass rush bag and can move a little bit laterally. He can start cracking the rotation over there. So shout out to Amari Barno.
Yeah, I feel like that's an interesting fit. They have the edge rusher over there, Brian Burns. Yep. I feel like he's very similar to Amari Barno. In general, just more polished than like a pure edge rusher. But I feel like if he's going to learn from anybody, it's probably going to be Brian Burns. So might be a good spot for him over there.
Definitely a good spot over there. And Jordan Williams with the Dolphins. Maybe Jordan Williams can make some shake down there. One of his teammates from Clemson plays down there, and I'm blanking. I can't think of his name.
Christian Watkins.
Yeah,
I think that's. Christian something.
The one that did the split, the one that was on his Hot Boy Summer shit at the Natty. So
I'm thinking of Christian Watson, not Christian Watkins. You know who I'm talking about, Christian something.
The boy that did the split. I know.
The boy that did the split.
But shout out to Jordan Williams, 757 zone.
Yeah. Let's go into the draft. So the draft, I thought was kind of crazy, just how it kind of shook out and where people went. What kind of stood out to you? Let's talk about first round in general, kind of how it started. Anything that stood out to you?
Sauce Gardner not being the first corner taken was insanity. I don't know what the Texans were doing. If you was going to take a corner, why don't you take the best one? I didn't get that. I didn't get that at all.
Yeah. Yep. He's the biggest one, too. 6'3", 200, long-ass arms. Like, I agree. I thought I personally thought he would have been the first off the board for the corners. Derek Stingley hasn't been good in now, like, 3 years. It's been since 2019.
Yeah, pre-pandemic.
Yeah. Pre-pandemic, that's a whole nother ball game. So I was kind of surprised too. What'd you think about Trayvon Walker going number one instead of Aiden Hutchinson, who I mean seemed like everybody thought was gonna go number one?
It's the classic upside versus production. And the NFL always goes with upside first. That's just the way it has been. That's the way it always will be. The closest thing I can think to, as far as everybody saying, what did this number one pick come from, was Mario Williams from NC State. And a lot of people were saying Reggie Bush should have been the first overall pick. He was the one everybody knew. We saw Reggie Bush every week. And Mario Williams was an upside guy. And history proved the Texans to be right. They gambled on the upside guy, and they were rewarded for that. So I can't say Trayvon Walker is going to be or not going to be. I just know that they went with upside over production.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the thing for me was I felt like if there was going to be a upside edge rusher, I thought it was going to be Kayvon Thibodeau. I didn't think it would go to Trayvon Walker. So,
yeah,
I think that's kind of what caught me off guard more than anything. But I get it. I mean, Trayvon Walker tested better than anybody else.
Tested great. But you were just hoping that if you're going to get somebody from Georgia, like it was so many elite players on that Georgia team that like Trayvon Walker wasn't even on nobody's radar as far as like the best defensive player on that Georgia team. That's what was so crazy about it.
Yeah.
He was on a team where like three or four dudes were like bigger stars than him.
Yeah, you exactly. N'Kobe Dean, Quay Walker,
Lewis Cine,
Jordan Davis, Devontae Wyatt. All shine more than he did.
Yes.
So, it shook out in his favor though, man. He got the first overall bag, so good for him. What did you think of the 49ers draft? I mean, I know you guys didn't have a first rounder, but you.
We didn't address
Drake Jackson.
We didn't address our number one pressing need. And we could not do that without a pick until round three. We had to move up. But corner, outside corner. I know they brought back Jason Verrett, but that's injuries. We've needed an outside corner like for years and one opposite, you know, cornerback number one. So we weren't able to do that, but it's a C. I gave the draft a C. Drake Jackson, obviously, edge rusher wasn't a position of need as we have D Ford and Nick Bosa. D Ford is coming back. So,
but Drake Jackson at the end of the second, that's not bad. I mean, he was kind of maybe a fringe first rounder for a while.
Yeah, it's not bad, but it wasn't what we needed.
Right, for positional
value. We got a gaping hole. We have a gaping hole in our secondary. Like, it's bad. We was out there. Like, we got Darquez Dennard right now, like, at corner. Like, right now, we got Darquez Dennard. Like, come on, man.
Former Bengal, man. He's gotten burnt a lot in his career.
That's what I'm saying. like, last year, we had the corpse of Drake Kirkpatrick. We had Drake Kirkpatrick starting games at corner last year.
Ugh.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's that bad at corner. Safety, we're actually okay, in my opinion. But, yeah, I have to give it a C. Danny Gray, the receiver we took, he has some potential going forward. But we just drafted a bunch of motherfuckers we don't need. We needed corner help, all three corners. We needed three.
Yeah. I think they might have been looking at Cam Taylor-Britt in the second round, and the Bengals took him with the pick before. Maybe that was the guy for the outside corner. So I don't know, man. I think the Bengals ended up trading up to 20 to 60, and then the first pick for the 49ers was 61. You guys took Drake Jackson, and the Bengals jumped up to take Cam Taylor-Britt, who's the corner from Nebraska. And I was listening to a podcast recently, and they were talking about how it was like the scouting director for the Bengals, but he wanted to move up because he thought that there were a couple teams that might have wanted to take him. So maybe he was talking about the 49ers.
Yeah, might have been talking about us.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Bengals? Were you pleased with their efforts?
It was a good draft. I wasn't ecstatic, you know, but Dax Hill in the first, I can live with.
He can play
everywhere too. Any position on defense, he can play. So I think they went for the future with their defense. They kind of addressed the offensive line in free agency, so went the other way on the defense, but they didn't take a lineman until the fourth, and the lineman they took was kind of a fringe guy. A lot of people didn't even have them on the boards. Some people had him in the second round. He was just all over the place. So maybe he's good. Maybe he's not. If he's bad, we're going to be set up for a rough future. So, you know, it was okay. I thought, you know, I was kind of hoping that Tyler Linderbaum would fall to 31. He got T. Wentz to the Ravens. And the Ravens had a hell of a draft, getting him and Kyle Hamilton, man.
The Ravens do that shit every year where the best players just fall to them.
Yeah, and they always pick them too. They never miss them.
They all, no matter what their needs are, they be like, okay, y'all gonna just give them to us. Yeah, shout out to the Ravens. They always draft well.
They play their cards right, man. They play their cards right. So I'm a little, you know, I'm a little interested to see how things shake. Tomorrow night, when you guys are probably listening to this podcast, even on maybe Friday, the NFL schedule will be out. There's a couple leaks. I know that the Bengals are opening the season on Sunday night, week one, with the Ravens at home. So I think that'll be a huge game, Lamar against Burrow in Cincinnati. But it'll be interesting to see where everything shakes and how the season opens up. So I'm excited for the NFL, but the Lions trading up for Jameson Williams. That was kind of crazy. Drake London being the first receiver off the board was kind of wild. Giants had a hell of a first round getting Thibodeau and Evan Neal.
Yeah, two people that was both potential number one picks.
Yeah, both of them, right? Both of them. Jets got Sauce and Garrett Wilson. So, you know, I think
Jermaine
that.
Johnson too,
didn't yeah, they? And Jermaine Johnson at the end of the first. Yep.
Man, the Jets going crazy. Man, that's the best thing about the draft, man. Everybody, it's Christmas time. Like, unless you a Patriots fan, like, everybody came away at least somewhat happy with some of the players they get.
Yeah.
That's the best thing about the draft. Shout out to Bill Belichick. Still the smartest man in the room.
That's the thing about the draft, man. I've always said it, but, like, at the end of the draft, you can always – talk yourself into like every team for the most part. I mean, there's a few teams maybe, yeah. But like almost every team you can talk yourself into like, okay, this team could be solid. If things shake right, this team could be solid. You know, it's Christmas for these teams. It's the only day every year where all fans of every team can come together and be happy about what they're doing. For the most part, unless you're a Pacers fan. Unless you're a Patriots fan.
I don't know what the fuck they doing, but everybody else can come up with something. Especially when you draft some of the players that you don't know, and you go and you everybody falls for the YouTube highlights.
Oh yeah, the YouTube highlights. Yeah, yeah.
YouTube highlights to get you every time.
Just Bombs Production. Shout out that guy, man.
Yo, that dude's a legend.
Legend.
That dude is a whole legend out here.
Yeah, shout out that guy.
Hammond Harris highlights, legends.
Yo, they both started Patreons recently, and they've been racking it up, racking it as they should. They've been holding it down for years, years. I've been watching those guys. They got everybody, any player you look them up, they got them.
They got them. Shout out to them. Shout out to everybody that's pirating highlights, because you know the highlight game. You know, they be getting demonetized and all that. So good for them to be out here getting money.
Yeah, exactly.
Motherfuckers highlights.
What'd you think about all the wide receiver trades? So, like, the Titans trading away A.J. Brown and then taking Treylon Burks, who's basically the same fucking player.
Hey, man. Hey, wide receivers out here making $20, $25, $30 million. It's a numbers game out here. I was saying it earlier, and you know, when it comes to talking about Debo, and Debo wants to be paid, you know, top money, and it's like, as much as I'm a fan of Debo, and he's one of the best players on our team, college football give you 6, 7, 8 star level receivers every year, bro. Like, you got to be kind of crazy to pay some of the money that some of these dudes get paid. It just is what it is. Well, like, why would I sit up here and pay Debo $25 to $30 million when I know damn well we found Debo in the second round? You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like this was a no-brainer. Debo was the best receiver in this draft. I think 3 or 4 receivers were ahead of him. Like, the college football just putting them out every year. It's like the best athletes play receiver these days.
Yeah, I mean,
receivers.
AJ Brown was a second rounder too.
Exactly. You know. Like, I think Hollywood went before both of them.
Yep. T. Higgins was a second rounder. They're getting pumped out, man. They're getting pumped out.
Devontae Adams was a second round pick.
Yeah.
You know, like, like, it's so many good receivers that come out every draft now that you would be crazy to put a lot of your cap into one receiver when you could probably draft two and pay them, like, you know, what you would have paid him.
Right.
But, you know,
I think
I hate advocating against somebody getting their money, though, but it's just logic.
Right. I think it's hard to, like, where's the cutoff between where you should pay top dollar and where you shouldn't? You know, who are the guys that you would pay top dollar for versus not? And where's that line? How do you judge?
It's hard to judge that shit,
bro. You know, like, I feel like from a Bengals perspective, I mean, I'd be cool with Chase.
Superstar, and you selling like hella merch and you getting the money back. Something like that.
Yeah.
Then I see it.
It's tough, though. I agree. I mean, the Chiefs came away with Sky Moore in the second. And, I mean, he could just come in immediately and replace Tyreek Hill. They might not even take a step back. I mean, it's just – there's so many of these guys coming from all over the place. So I get where these teams are coming from. But it's weird because half the league – is on board with doing that, and then the other half of the league is like, we're going to pay these guys. You know,
like, I think it's always a place for top receivers to still get paid, because I think Las Vegas Raiders do need a high paid Devontae Adams just to drum up interest. They don't even have a fan base out there.
Yeah.
So you need to bring in a star, and plus him and Derek Carr are friends, so that helps too. I think the Dolphins did need to pay Tyreek Hill because they do need star power. It's Miami, like. I see both sides of it. I just think that college football gives you too many receivers every draft to just pay somebody $30 million.
Yeah.
That's money.
Yeah, man.
I mean, but if you ask me, I'm against paying quarterbacks most of your cap too. So I'm kind of a.
You got to spread the wealth.
It's a salary cap. Unfortunately, it's a salary cap game. So,
yeah, it's really the game within the game with the money, man. You gotta set your team up right. Yeah.
If they ain't have a salary cap, I say fuck it, give them what they want.
Bro. Yeah.
That ain't how the game go.
Yep, you're working within that structure. But no, I agree with the Devontae Adams stuff in Vegas. Because one thing I always said is, like, if you're Vegas, right, and you're advertising, who are you putting on the billboard? Derek Carr. In Vegas, you putting Derek Carr on the billboard? Come see the Raiders play. We got Derek Carr. Like, you need somebody bigger than that, right? Man,
Derek Carr is pretty good, but he don't move the needle.
Yeah. Devontae Adams, though.
Darren Waller's like low key one of the best tight ends.
Right, but he
kind of keeps it low key.
Yeah, you need a Devontae Adams for that.
Yeah, you need somebody that's gonna sell merch, sell tickets.
Yeah, bring in the betters. Yeah. Bring in the people. Yeah. That's what you need. So last one I got for you, Kenny Pickett being the first quarterback taken to the Steelers. We called that for a long time. You think that's gonna work out? I mean, they got Mitch Trubisky there too. It's a hometown fit. What's your thoughts?
When it comes to the Steelers, they got Najee Harris. They obviously, Kenny Pickett, one of those dudes where, like, he's going to be this year's Mac Jones if he does get the start. Well, he'll probably get the start. He got a good team around him already, and he could probably guide them to wins and help them win. But I don't think he's scaring any of their opponents as well. So, shout out to Kenny Pickett. Like I said, I don't think he's going to scare nobody, but the Steelers are a decent team where they can still – win games with him at starting quarterback. If he wins the job.
Yeah, they got a good coach too, good defense, good franchise. That's a tough division right now. I mean, you got Burrow, Watson, Lamar. A lot of good quarterbacks there.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I wouldn't willingly draft the fourth best quarterback in the conference. I would have done that, but I mean, that's them though.
Yeah, that's the Steelers. The Steelers, they go with their needs, man. They go with their needs every time.
Go with their needs. I don't know. That conference, I mean, let alone that division, but that conference, I'm not drafting somebody that I think can't outgun some of the people in that conference. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
I would have rolled the dice with Mitch, and if he would have been some ass, then that's just what it is. And if he go get C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, I need a young gun. That's just me, though.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. You know, you need the elite guys, not the mediocre guys. So, anything else? You
Baker Mayfield got shown the door. He a number one pick.
Yep, and he's still. I mean, he's shown the door, but he's still not traded yet. So that'd be interesting to see.
He got replaced effectively. He ain't been shown the door yet, but
he's on his way. On his way out. Yep. So anything else for the draft? Do you you remember?
No, it was just good to see. It's all, you know, nowadays they kind of go into the draft with some money in their pocket. So when nobody really like crying no more. That them days are kind of over with, but it was just dope to see people achieve their dreams. You know, we as fans, the media, for 3, 4, sometimes 5, 6 years, these dudes get torn to shreds, criticized, picked apart. So it's good to see them, you know, walk across that stage or get their name called, you know, and finally it's like the pinnacle. It's like everything you grinded for, you got it. And you know, now, you know, obviously the work ain't done, but for one day you can say, look, I was NFL draft pick. Ain't nobody ever take that shit from me. So shout outs to all the draft picks, even Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy, who my team took. Hey, you got your name called. Can't nobody take that from
you. Yep. It's probably got to be one of the coolest experiences anybody could ever have, is to get drafted in the NFL or drafted in general. It doesn't really matter what sport you're playing. I mean, that's just got to be such a cool experience, you know.
Yeah, you put that helmet on, and it says Chicago Bears or whatever. Even if you only got to do it for a couple of weeks, like, hey, you got to do it, you know.
Yeah.
So even if you just got a practice uniform, hey, that's yours. It got Bears on it or Packers or whatever. So,
And not a lot of us got that, man. Not a lot of people have that.
Hell no, a lot of people. I mean, even shout out Gerard Evans. Like, he didn't get to have the long NFL career, but shit, he got to hang out with Aaron Rodgers. You know, he got to be around Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, how many people can say that? You know,
right? So, yep.
That shit got to be dope.
You gotta take your wins.
Yeah.
Gotta take your wins.
Take your wins.
So what's going on? Yeah. YSL?
YSL got rated, man. They got Rico. I haven't combed through the paperwork too much, but the streets are saying that Young Thug was talking on the phone, man. Talking on the phone with the shooters. They got him on. They had his phone wired. That's bad.
Bad news.
They hit your asshole full of time when they got you talking on the phone.
Yeah.
We're about to see exactly how much money Young Thug has and how deep his pockets really go, because he's going to have some of the best lawyers to get his time shaved down, because he's going to prison. The question is going to be how long and who's going with him.
Yep.
Those are the questions. And who's going to snitch? Who's going to talk? Because that's going to be important too.
When's the last time something like this has happened? or no, never.
Like last fucking week when Lucci and them got Rico, the people that they were beefing with, YFN and YSL was in a gang war in Atlanta, and a lot of bodies. The thing about wars is once you start racking up bodies, the feds are definitely watching. You cannot murder people, even rival gang members, and get away with the shit. Apparently, allegedly, when Lucci got stabbed in prison, Young Thug commissioned that hit or okayed it or whatever. So Lucci is currently locked up on RICO charges. There's a lot of motherfuckers, like, it ain't even just YSL, it ain't just YFN. It's been rumors that 4PF might be next. So all Lil Baby fans, get worried, because they saying 4PF might be next. Obviously, OTF, you Lil Durk fans, y'all might want to get saddled up, because I don't think it's going to stop with YSL. I wouldn't be surprised if 4K Trey gets looked into. Young boy is already awaiting whatever he's waiting, yeah, it's about to get real nasty. It's about to be crazy times to be a hip hop fan. You motherfuckers might want to be Jack Harlow fans. I don't think Jack gonna get Rico no time soon, but hey man, it is what it is.
Yeah, man, some wild shit. I don't really know a whole lot about Rico's, but it seems like when somebody's involved, everybody kind of takes the fall too. And then the government kind of leverages the people that know something and kind of helps them get off for more information. So it kind of, it doesn't really seem like it works in Young Thug's favor very much.
Oh, hell no. I mean, Fetty Wap got Rico. His people, so man, them Ricos is nasty business, and they are designed to make people snitch.
Right, because they take time off for you.
Hell yeah, it's designed to find the weak links, and I don't think Young Thug will be offered any opportunity to snitch because it's looking like he is top of the food chain.
He's what they're after, you know.
Yeah, so I don't think he's gonna have an opportunity to snitch because the plea deals and the opportunities to snitch will be to put Young Thug away. So, yeah, man. When you dropping bodies and I gotta say this because I'm a black person and these are black people. And I hate to see all the time, because when these organizations, you know, do what they do, killing and robbing and all that, and these predatory tactics on their own people and their own neighborhoods, and just because these niggas can rap and make good music, motherfuckers will get on the internet and say, free Ronnie, free this person. Some of these motherfuckers need to be locked up, man. Like, listen. You can make good music, and that's well and fucking good. But lock some of these motherfuckers up, man, if they're guilty of what they're doing. I don't give a fuck. I love Young Thug's music. Listen to that nigga all the time, man. But if he really commissioned all these murders, like, come on, bro. Like, we got to be real with ourselves, too. We can't sit up here and be like, fuck the police for this. Or fuck that person for that, and then watch this nigga commission all these murders and be like, but fuck that, he made lifestyle. Like it gotta make sense too, though. Like,
right.
For real. Like, but shout out to Thugger, but if he involved in all that. Now, if all the bodies came from just the beef or YFN or any other street entities, I mean, the game is the game, and that's just what come with it. But if innocent people was getting killed, then, hey, man, lock these motherfuckers up, man. But if it was just on some YSL versus YFN and all these other street shit, hey, man, that just come with it. Bodies come with drug wars and gang wars. Like, bodies come with it. Dumb people signed up for that, sadly. But
unfortunately.
If innocent people got killed, or, like, They was just out here just reckless, just popping motherfuckers. And hey, lock the motherfuckers up.
Yep.
That's just
yep.
what it is.
Unfortunate. Yeah, unfortunate. Yeah, tough situation for everybody. Don't like seeing some of these guys go down, but like you said, you know, if they're wrapped up in it, you know, then it is what it is.
Hell yeah. So all you 4PF motherfuckers, hey, get your shit in order.
Yeah, yeah.
Baby, you better get the fuck out of the country, man, if you involved in
shit. Yeah, man. Baby's one of my favorites,
these
too.
Motherfuckers, man. Listen, why I said them niggas was reckless as hell. Niggas said, I'm big slam, but we doing all the crime. Bro, what the fuck? What the hell?
These yeah. Say,
man, lock some of these niggas up, man. Some of them got to touch. Some of them got to touch some jail time, some prison time. It's a lot of motherfuckers get. Somebody, I think Say Cheese posted a picture of all the not all the rappers, because goddamn, we don't have enough time in the day. But just posted a whole bunch of rappers locked up. I ain't even know Q the Fool was locked up.
Yeah, that picture of all the rappers locked up.
Yeah, I said, what the Q the Fool locked up? Rich Shooter? Yeah. Rich Shooter. Damn.
Yeah, wow. going down, man. The
Feds doing anything. I ain't never going to jail. They crazy. I'm a regular motherfucker and I avoid jail. They crazy. The fuck? Who the fuck I look like making all that money and going to jail?
That's yeah. Dumb. So what's going on with you? What do you got going on these days? Everything going smooth in your parts?
Yeah, man, everything good, man. I'm trying to stay away from the fucking coast, man. Neptune trying to kill us all. But other than that, man, I've been chilling, man. Staying all the way out the way, man. You know me.
Yeah.
Doing my showers and floors, man. Staying out the way.
Yeah, I feel you. You know, hopefully, you know, get down there for ODU and check out the area, man. You got to show me around. Show me the spots.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? ODU, like late August, early September, that's hurricane season. Like hurricanes will be popping off.
Hey, but man, if hurricane season's right now, man, maybe it'll be nice by then.
Like, hell no, that's August, September is when it goes down, especially here. Like we're on the coast, so
yeah.
ODU game, we should probably gonna be having a hurricane that weekend. It's gonna be litty. Everybody come out. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be drowning and dying and shit. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. Y'all come down for ODU weekend.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure hurricane's going to hit.
Yeah. We'll get it popping regardless. Yeah.
regardless.
Yes, sir.
You got anything left to say to the people?
Hey man, we got episodes coming. We've been you know, it's off season, so we come when we got stuff going on. You know, but we'll be wrapping up. You know, we'll be speeding up soon. So stay tuned. We got stuff coming. So just keep rocking.
Definitely got stuff in the works, man. Shout out to Dex, man.
Let me put some respect on Dex's name, man. I think he's at what Dex is loaded.
Yep, and Loaded NIL. We got two accounts.
At Loaded NIL, man. Shout out to Dex, man. He got some shit under wraps. I ain't gonna spoil what he got going on, but shout out to Dex, man. We see you grinding out here, Chief. We see you.
He's coming up, man. He's coming up. He's got a good plan.
Yeah. He got some shit coming too. Who knows, man? Everything work out properly, man. Might be some collabs in our future, man.
Hey, it's something.
We always willing to work. And the shit got to make sense. But right. We always willing to work, you know. So.
Exactly. Good shit. Got anything left?
Nah, man. That's it, man. Till next week, y'all. God bless.